A jolt of excruciating pain jarred Nosterol back to consciousness. It felt as if he were being cooked alive from the inside. His eyes popped open wide, adding to his suffering. Someone had removed his protective goggles, and the oxygen-rich atmosphere of the ship felt like acid on his pupils. Squeezing his tortured eyes shut, he let loose a scream, the sound muffled by his breathing mask.
"He's awake,"
he heard Darth Kerrid say, and the burning agony suddenly stopped. Though still unable to open his eyes, the Keldor was able to take stock of his surroundings. He was lying on a hard platform or table set at a 45-degree angle, his wrists and ankles tightly shackled so that he was spread-eagled against the surface. His robe and most of his clothes had been stripped away, leaving him almost naked. In addition to Kerrid, there were others in the room with him. He recognized the presence of the female Sith apprentice, though he couldn't sense Kerrid's male follower anywhere close by. And there were two others. He couldn't feel the dark side emanating from them, so he assumed they were not Sith, but rather Imperial soldiers, guards, or specially trained interrogators. He heard footsteps approaching, then the sound of Darth Kerrid's voice much closer than before.
"We know the attack on Reaver Station was staged," she said, her voice filled with an icy calm. "But I don't understand why. What was the purpose of setting off a false alarm?"
The Jedi didn't know what she was talking about, but he suspected Theron had something to do with it. Whatever his partner had been up to, he hoped it had worked. If Theron hadn't successfully planted the virus in the Spear's systems, Nosterol's plan was doomed to fail.
"Hit him again,"
Darth Kerrid said, tired of waiting for him to answer her question. This time, his body felt not heat, but a strange kind of internalized pressure. His lungs and stomach expanded, as if rapidly filling up with air. His arteries and veins engorged with blood. His arms and legs swelled with fluid, the restraints on his wrists and ankles biting hard into his swelling flesh. His eyes bulged against his lids, and every organ in his body felt stretched and distended, ready to burst or tear apart. Nosterol screamed again through his mask. The pain was unlike anything he had ever felt before, the experience uniquely horrifying. And then, suddenly it was gone. Nosterol's body went limp, like a partially deflated balloon. A second later, he began to tremble, every muscle quivering involuntarily. The spasm lasted for several seconds before he was finally able to calm his mind and regain control of his physical body.
"Darth Mekkis was a true genius,"
Kerrid said with obvious admiration.
"She understood that the normal methods of torture had little value against those who can draw upon the Force to sustain them. But even a Jedi Master is helpless against her remarkable machine. It attacks the mind and the spirit,"
she explained,
"but leaves the body intact. Any imaginable horror can be inflicted simply by stimulating the receptors of the brain. The pain will feel completely real, but the flesh is unharmed."
Nosterol understood the grim implications of what she was saying. Conventional torture would eventually surpass the limits of physical endurance. Beyond a certain point, the subject would perish. But with Mekkis' infernal machine, no matter how much a victim suffered, the agony would never end.
"Dwelling on the endless horror is another part of the torture," the Jedi reminded himself. "Stay calm. Focus on what you need to do."